You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Hemlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds.
34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Greetings and welcome to episode 72 of the Training Dummies, recorded on August 26, 2014. My name is Daryl, and I main a Resto Shaman named Hend, and co-main a Destruction Warlock named Zend. And with me this evening is my bro-host Rob, who tanks it up on a Brewmaster Monk named Holloway, and co-mains pretty much everything else. With us tonight, to show us that challenge modes aren't really all that challenging, we have Thunderspank.
Yeah.
Yay!
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Man, it's been over a month since we've recorded.
Yeah, it has. Month and a half, maybe almost. Feels like a long time anyway.
Yeah, it does. It's good to be back behind the wheel here.
Why do you guys end up taking so much time off?
The real life boss.
Hand takes off three days in the summer.
Exactly.
He didn't tell you which three, though. So
okay.
Yeah, and we were talking before we hit record here that I've moved to Austin here recently, and so we've been getting a lot of things under control, internet and life and house and all that stuff. So, well, yeah. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll do our little short interview to get to know you a little bit, and then we'll get into the good stuff, the challenging or not so challenging stuff, I guess, huh?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. How, when, where, what, why did you start playing, and what would you say is your current main?
So I started at the very end of BC, and I hit 70, something like 3 days or 4 days before Wrath launched, so I didn't really get any endgame experience. I had an Alliance Hunter that I started with a Night Elf, just like everyone else.
You know, I never have had a Night Elf Hunter. I just want to say that for the record. Never.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
I did. My very, 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 very first tune was.
I know, like, everyone comes, like, you know, with that whole Dark Elf, Ranger archetype, like, let's have a Night Elf Hunter. But, yeah, anyway, that's embarrassing. So as soon as I hit 70, I took a look at... I had actually bought the battle chest, and I had never bothered to put in the code for BC. So, you know, after I hit 60, I unlocked it and managed to get to 70. But then I got the two new races, Rhaenai and Night and Blood Elves. And then I rolled a mage, a Horde Blood Elf mage. As you can see, it's fairly typical, the path that I took. And so that was my first 80. And I started playing because I moved to the U.S. And I used to live in Pakistan before that, and I never really had the sort of internet access you need, the reliable access with low latency that you need to be able to play. So when I moved here, I had heard a lot about WoW, and I tried it out and got hooked. My current main is... I actually play a whole bunch of alts, but my mains usually are my warrior Thunderspank and my monk Thurumthi, and then, you know, anything else that catches my fancy. But yeah, pretty much everything.
Yeah, that's my kind of guy right there.
Yeah, exactly. So what is the origin of the name Thunderspank then?
Well, it's actually very, very simple. It's my warrior. And my favorite ability on my Lovi warrior, which I'd first rolled to try the class out, was Thunderclap. And the style of tanking in Wrath was Tank and Spank. So, Thunder, Spank. And that's pretty much it.
Well, that works. That's, yeah, pretty simple.
So, what would you say is your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft?
Well, there are lots of little ones, you know, peppered throughout the years. But one... fun time that I had, me and a very close friend of mine started together. We both rolled hunters. He was a dwarf. And we were just exploring Westfall, and we had no idea about the trinity of MMOs or, you know, what instances were or any of that. We were just playing and exploring, right? So I found the instance portal to Deadmines. You're like, hey, let's go check that out. And, you know, if a mob's nameplate is green, you have the reasonable expectation that you can kill it without too much trouble, right?
Right.
We didn't know anything about elites, right? So we go in there and get our, and just get thrashed in there, right? this does not make sense. Why are we dying? It took us almost 2 hours to kill the first boss, and we didn't know it then, but we learned how to kite because we were just standing at two opposite ends, trading mobs back and forth.
Nice. And
yeah, so but after that first boss died, we're like, no, this is ridiculous. There has to be an easier way.
That's awesome.
Because all our gear was broken. Nothing was working. Like, you don't have a weapon equipped. Like, really, what's going on?
That's so, yeah, awesome.
That was a fun time.
Oh, that's perfect.
Totally. So now we have we finally have a release date for Warlords of Draenor. And everyone's getting a free 90, so I don't know if you have yours pre-ordered already or are going to be getting it, but what is or what will be your free level 90?
So I actually did pre-order, and I already used my free 90 boost to boost an Alliance Monk to play with some Alliance friends, but somehow that hasn't been panning out. You know, schedules haven't been syncing up. I do all my challenge modes and all my gaming in the form of bugs, really, because with things at home, like, I tend to put my family before everything else, and that's why I don't commit to a reading schedule, and that's why it's really hard for me to commit to specific time slots for doing challenge modes. And, you know, that's why I did boost that 90, but I haven't been able to really do anything with it. So, what about you guys?
Let's see. I was mentioning not spending a whole lot of time in-game the past couple of weeks or month or so, but we have done our raid. We've gone in, and we've been beating our heads against normal mode Garrosh, and he's a butthole. You know, we were saying that at this point of the expansion, a lot of people have already, you know, they've already finished this and they're done. They don't care anymore. But you know, we're fairly casual. You know, I would say that we could clear everything up to him pretty easy. I would say we've got it on farm, but for some reason, man, that fight is just tough. It's real tough, and you know, and then when you're filling roster slots with people who are out on vacation, you know, you're just grabbing friends and filling slots and changes that dynamic a little bit, just makes it a little bit rough. So we're still doing that, and it's fun, but I'd really like to get him down, you know, before the pre-patch or, you know, anything like that. I guess that's
both month.
Yeah, right. I would love that. That's not a normal, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, outside of that, I did the Ice Bucket Challenge. And I did call handout, and
oh yeah, I've been busy.
We have yet to see if he's going to show up for that.
Oh, but, I'll do it.
Well, I just want to throw a quick disclaimer out there, dude. Allergies just hit me like a truck, and so if I sound a little weird tonight, I apologize. But you know, the show must go on.
Yes,
it's good to be back, and. And what have you been up to, man?
Well, before that, I'm going to answer Thunderspank's question, because you just kind of skirted over it and hopped to the next part. But
wait.
But my free 90, I did Alliance as well. I did an Alliance Warlock.
Oh, yeah.
You just went into what you've been doing. And
no, he just said what are you...
Those allergies.
I know, man. I can't help it.
Well, he said what his 90 was and then asked what ours was. And then you went on to what you've been doing. But it person. Must be the allergies. Anyway, but I did Alliance as well. I did the same thing. So, but I rarely play it. Well, heck, I rarely play the game lately. So,
and the tricky thing is, I mean, you get a 90, but then you don't have any support system there. You've got no way of getting enchants. You've
Yeah.
Consumables, and it's just a chore.
Yeah, I did a few dailies, or the PvP dailies, so that was getting me a little bit of gold. So I think I got maybe half my enchants. I had sent a engineering pet over, one of the, I think the robo, bad robot. I tried to sell it on the auction hall on that server, but I didn't try that that hard, and it didn't sell, so I was hoping that would be an easy way to get myself some cash, but it didn't work out. Anyway, but it doesn't matter, because I rarely ever play that tune, so. Because it's Alliance.
I tried the same thing, man. I sunk 20,000 gold in buying bits off the auction house to reset.
Oh, my gosh.
And I found something very annoying. Once you buy a level 25 pet, I don't have my own battle pets, any of them at level 25.
So you can't learn it.
I can't learn it, and I can't sell it. It's just sitting in my bag, taunting me.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Better start doing some pet battles.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, that's rough. That's rough.
Well, I suppose I could just, I could tell you what I used my stinking boost on. If you care.
Yes.
Since you asked. it was a Pandaren rogue that I did for a friend's guild to help them with Stay Classy. That's all.
Okay. Was it also Alliance?
No, it was hard.
Okay.
Nope. I don't even know. I'm up to like 20-something, 25, 26 at this point, so it really didn't matter to me what I used it on.
That's just crazy. That's just crazy.
It doesn't matter.
Yep. All right, so, what have you been up to the past week or so in-game, Thunderspank?
Well, lately it's just been challenge modes, and I guess I've been, you know, trying to get them done before, now that the expansion date is out and the release date is out, everyone's trying to do it. If you go into OQ, you'll see, you know, most evenings you'll see over 20 groups looking for more, so it's a good time to do them. And the last couple of weeks, I've had a lot of playtime too, because I've been home and not traveling, and my family's out of town, so, you know, I have tons of time. So I've been trying to knock them out, and yeah, so pretty much challenge modes.
Right on. And what I've been up to in-game, not much. Like Rob mentioned, Garrosh. Garrosh. Yeah, I think
we had a lot of pulls on him the other night.
Yeah, we did. I think it was 12. We're getting better. So there's that.
What part are you having trouble with?
The part the where ads. He dies and gives me an heirloom.
The part where we get the ads, the empowered ads. We got to the second or third group of ads on our best attempt, so we're getting close.
Sounds like you're getting close. Yeah,
we're definitely getting close. So hopefully, not this weekend or not this Friday, because someone's off camping again. But I know they're always doing that. But in a week and a half, hopefully, we'll be able to finally finish this. But yeah, other than that, not a whole lot. I did finish the first Bioshock, so that was kind of how I spent my gaming time, because I'd log into WoW and Known Beyond, and I didn't really feel like doing anything, so I'd log out and play Bioshock for a bit till bed. And so I managed to finish the first one of that. But with the expansion coming up here soon, I'm looking forward to getting back into game and getting back into the groove of things, and hopefully things will start to get a lot more regular in terms of game time and WoW time and everyone else being in there as well. So
you're not feeling regular?
Oh, I'm regular. Twice a day, whether I need it or not.
Need it or not.
Exactly. All right. Let's get on to our main topic here after this, I guess.
This is Pally from Getter Raid, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Hendon Rob.
I just want to say that he did go over some logs with us, and he really did give us some solid advice that helped us out with some of our garage attempts when we went back in there. It's just been a lot of work, and you know, it takes a lot of time to get in there and, you know, to learn the fight and keep doing it and do it until you get it. So,
and a raid night every 2 weeks isn't helping either. So,
right.
But yeah, we'll get it. We'll get it. I have faith. I have faith. But anyway, challenge modes. That's what we're talking about tonight. So you mentioned you have done a lot of challenge modes, or that's what you've been doing. So just some background on the challenge modes you've completed. What all have you completed your challenge modes on? Like, and by completed, I'm saying, what do you have gold on?
So I have golds on a bunch of different classes, but the ones that I have, like, completed them on, and that's, like, 9 of 9 gold, where you get the transmog set, and you're basically done with that character. There are 8. So my Holy Paladin, my Disciplined Priest, my Frost Mage, Elemental Shaman, Brewmaster Monk, Prot Warrior, Death Knight. I think I'm missing one.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm working on my Rogue, and my Hunter is almost 90, and then I have a Warlock, which I don't think is going to hit 90 before Warlords comes out. So I tried to get all 11, but let's see how far I get. I'm at 8 of 11 right now.
Wow. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
That's serious, man. I like that.
They actually get a lot easier once you get a couple of characters done. Because a lot of it is, and we'll talk about this, but a lot of it is really just knowing how to do a challenge mode. And once you have that part down, doing it on a different character isn't really as tough as it is the first time you do it.
Well, then, you obviously have done it on several different roles, several different tunes. Why don't you talk a little bit about getting into it? Like, I mean, you mentioned earlier OQ and some other. I don't know if it's add-ons or whatnot. What's the best way to get in and find a group and do a challenge mode right now?
So for most people, like you know, you're going to be coming at it from two different places. Like some people are in a guild with a lot of people who want to do them, and you'll have a guild group. And you know, the challenge for you in that case isn't really getting the people to do it. It's getting the people to gel together and get the challenge mode done. Mm-hmm. For me, the challenge was, and I keep using this word here, but was that nobody in my guild was interested at all in doing challenge mods, and nobody on my friends list at the time was too keen on doing them either. So I was kind of on my own, and I decided to try and bug them. And I ran into some really cool people who helped me out. I mean, I did prepare before signing up to Pug or looking for Pugs, but you know, once I got into Pug, they were super helpful and very, very understanding, and I learned a lot very quickly, and that's how I got my Holy Paladin. That was my first one.
Mm-hmm.
So, coming back to your question, there are two ways. If you don't have anyone who's doing challenge modes, which I think the vast majority of people who are looking to do them now in this boat, they don't know anyone to do it, but I would suggest OQ and Open Raid. I actually wrote a blog post about it. I can give you a link to it that just goes over how to get into Pugs. But, you know, at this point, people are going to want achievements and some experience. So you're probably best off pugging for a silver run just so that you can get some experience and mm-hmm. then working your way up to golds.
Okay, that sounds good, actually. That's a... I wouldn't have thought of doing something like that where, well, yeah.
Going for the silver first.
Yeah, start with trying to pug a silver just to get the experience before working on a gold. So that's a really good tip. But yeah, that blog post, if we get that link from you, we could put it in the show notes when we post this online for sure.
I'll get that to you.
Okay, so how do you prepare then? Like, what do you need to do before you start looking for a group to do challenge modes?
Well, the first thing you're going to want to do is just, you know, get out there and read the forums or just search for challenge modes from your specs perspective. And by spec, I just don't mean tank, healer, or DPS, but your class and spec. Because there are a lot of nuances to doing challenge modes. You're really trying to optimize things. And depending on what spec you're playing, it can be very different. Like So, just hit YouTube, look up, watch some videos with commentary, and try to get a feel for, you know, why people are doing what they're doing in there. The other part is the gear that you need. Like, that's the stuff you do outside the game. In game, you want to get some gear and consumables. So the gear that's ideal is really gear with a lot of sockets on it. And generally, Throne of Thunder or Siege gear is best for that. And this is armor that I'm talking about, not trinkets.
Okay.
And if you look at, for example, the Death Knight tier gear, which is what I've, you know, I just did my DK, so it's fresh in my mind. The socket bonus for the Blood DK gear has 270 stam on it. That's huge, because in challenge modes, your gear gets downscaled to eye level 463, but your socket bonuses stay intact.
Oh.
So that's like, So that's a huge boost. Like, yeah, so like I had the helm and one other piece, and that was 270 and 270 stam. That was 540 stam I didn't have without that gear. That's huge at eye level 463. So a couple of things about gear. When, you know, if you have legendaries, they're not going to work in there. The cloak will have its basic stats, but it's not going to proc in there. So it's still best in slot because it has a socket and it has really nice stats on it, but it's not going to be proccing in there.
Gotcha.
And your legendary meta is going to be disabled altogether. So it's, if you go in wearing a helm with a legendary meta in there, it's as if you don't have a meta gem at all, which is bad, obviously.
Yeah, well, that sucks.
Yeah. And set bonuses don't work. So if you're counting on using your tier gear set bonuses, just be aware that they're disabled.
So do you want to have, like, a different helm then with a different meta in it? Because, I mean, you don't want to... That meta is kind of expensive, right? You don't want to keep having to swap that out with...
Yeah, for sure. So since your gear is going to get downscaled to 463, you can pick up pretty much any helm if, you know, if you just... If you're not going for best times on your realm or anything, then, you know, pretty much any gear works. You can do challenge modes with whatever gear you have on. Just optimizing your gear just makes it easier for you in a pug, because there's just a shorter window to prove yourself in, right? So that's why you want to stack the deck in your favor, and that's where the gear is important. But you can take any helm, even a PvP helm. Just go buy one with honor. Just convert justice to honor and buy that and use that, and that's going to be fine.
So probably Timeless Isle gear would be really, really good for this, since you can keep making until you get the stats you want, right?
So Timeless Isle gear, I'm not sure about this, but in some cases it bugs out. Like, so there's Timeless Isle gear with two secondary stats on it, and apparently that works fine. Uh-huh. But that most of it doesn't have sockets, or if it does, it has a single socket, and you're usually trying to get multiple sockets, so you don't use that. So in a pinch, it would work. But coming back to the Timeless Isle gear, some gear which has only a single secondary stat, that doesn't scale properly at 463. That's some weirdness around that. So that gear might not work fine. I mean, it's workable. It's just not, you're not helping yourself as much as possible. Like, you're not optimizing yourself, which is really not that big a deal once you get experience, but when you're new in there, you really want to do, you know, line up everything you can to help you. Because it's going to be a big shock to you. You go from eye level, you know, 550 to 463, and your haste is like non-existent. On my healer, I had 1500 spirit. That's nothing, right? So it's a big shock. So you want to help yourself as much as you can, and that's why you try to get gear with sockets. Now, when we talk about trinkets, you don't want trinkets from Siege of Orgrimmar, because most of them have things like cooldown reduction and, and stuff, which when you scale them down to 463, they do a cooldown reduction of a couple percent at most, like 1 or 2%, and that's useless. But the Throne of Thunder trinkets and even some heroic trinkets work really well. So, yeah, trinkets from earlier tiers and armor from the as late in the X-Pack as you can get, so you get more sockets and better bonuses, and that's the way to go. But having said all of that, one of the hardest challenge modes to get a gold time in is Stormstar Brewery, because it's got a really tight timer, and we did it with a hunter who was wearing, who was a fresh boost. He was in fully boosted gear. No slots for gems, nothing, no sockets. And we got gold in there because he, that was his second hunter. So he knew
what he was doing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly.
So that makes a huge difference then, just being familiar with the content and knowing who to CC and who you can invis around and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, that's where having a strong leader is going to make a big difference, because depending on what classes you have in your group, the way you'll approach samples is going to change. I'll give you a little example. In Scarlet Monastery, that's the one with the undead portion at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a DK in the group, he can mind control one of those undead spirits before the boss. They're in a big pack on both sides of the boss. And what you can do with a DK is you can pull that spirit off to one side, have a range, just whack them with the lightest hitting auto attack a whole bunch of times. Each time that spirit gets hit, they build a stack of a buff that increases the damage they do. Right? Mm-hmm. When that stack is super high, your DK mind controls it, and you park the boss next to it, and the spirit kills him in 10 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Now, nice. Now you're not going to do that if you don't have a DK in the group, right?
Like, seriously, yeah.
Yeah, so if you had a different comp, you'd do it totally differently. Like, if you were melee heavy, you'd be different, with lots of range, different again. So, yeah, it depends a lot on what your group looks like, and that's where having someone who has experience in there can really help you get through.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you've done this on several different classes, several different roles. Maybe we could just start off and go through, like, you know, talk about tanking a little bit, doing it, you know, as different tanks, and what things to look for in general, you know, but kind of an overview, and then we can look at, like, healers and DPS as well.
Sounds good. So the first tank I did these on was a Brewmaster. And at that time, when I was doing them, I'd heard from everyone that, you know, DKs were the preferred spec for doing challenge modes. The problem was I didn't have a DK at max level, but I did have a monk and a warrior. So I started with those. And later, you know, as I started doing research and, you know, really playing my monk in there, I found that a monk is actually really, really good. And then it turned out that most of the best times, world best times, and there's a group, you can look it up on YouTube, they three-manned all the challenge modes for for gold times.
Mm-hmm.
Three-man.
What?
They had a brewmaster monk again. Yes. It's three people. It's a brewmaster monk, a disciplined priest, and an elemental shaman. And they've gotten gold in all nine of them, and their videos are up on YouTube, so you can check it out. They three-manned them all.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So the thing with brewmasters is, in challenge modes, that they can, they're phenomenally good at kiting. And, you know, with tossing, dizzying brew, you can keep aggro on trash that's streaming in, and you can keep kiting them while your range just lights them up.
Mm-hmm.
So brewmasters can do bigger pulls than most other tanks. And then with the way brewmasters take damage and then, you know, purify it off, they get vengeance much faster because their damage taken is higher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, with Rushing Jade Wind or Breath of Fire or, you know, even Keg Smash, it just hits so hard that on my monk, I'm usually top DPS in challenge modes. So
that's right.
Monks are amazingly good for challenge modes. But if you're not used to kiting, you're just going to fall over and die in, like, the first 3 seconds.
That's right.
That is also right.
Because since you play a brewmaster, you'll appreciate this. I had 1100 haste. Can you imagine how much time there is when I can carry out different attacks? So what you really do is you run in, you kick smash, then you back off. Then you go back in when you have enough energy. You hit again, and then you kite. So you're not taking any hits while you don't have any energy to hit back, right? I mean, you're kind of building on that. So that's monks for you, right? Warriors, on the other hand, I thought aggro was going to be a nightmare because, you know, on my monk, aggro is super easy. On the warrior, the common wisdom goes that AoE threat is hard and, you know, it's so difficult. But with recent buffs to warriors, especially in 5-4, with how we scale with our crit scales with our defensive stats, it was actually awesome because I never lost threat on my warrior, and I could take a beating that I could not even dream of taking on my monk without kiting. So I could just stand there, eat all the hits, and then, you know, do amazing damage. Maybe not as high as the monk, but very high still. It, you know, we still don't have things like army to cheese mechanics, but we have really good mobility. So I had a lot of fun on my Proc Warrior. And that was, you know, I think the monk and my warrior are my favorite tunes to do challenge modes on, really. I also did it on my Blood DK. Mm-hmm. And I was terrible at it when I first started. Like, my, you know, I just didn't know what was going on because it was because I was trying to play my DK like a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And I soon learned that I'm really supposed to play it more like a monk, like get a few hits in, back out, you know, get some runes, go back in, hit again, and get out. It might be wearing plate, but it's not going to eat hits the way a warrior can.
Right.
Not at eye level 463. At higher eye levels, for sure. But yeah, even on the DK, it was a lot of fun. So yeah, challenge modes as a tank, super fun. Maybe not the class you want to start out as on a gore, because everyone's going to be shouting at you to go, go, go. Mm-hmm. And you'll be looking at the healer like, but he's at 10% mana. He's like, no, go, go. So yeah, maybe, you know, you probably don't want to start out as a tank. Mm-hmm. You can start out as a silver tank, yeah, and you'll have a great time. But as a gold tank, it's probably going to be a lot of pressure, and I'd strongly recommend getting some silvers under your belt before you go after gold as a tank. Now, in terms of what you want to work on, you know, for the monk, you want to reforge all out into crit just so that you can have your elusive brew up as much as possible, and the damage you do is going to be higher. So, which is for challenge modes, since they're timed, very important. High damage is really important.
Mm-hmm.
On the warrior, because the damage scales with avoidance stats, you want to go all out into parry and dodge, just so that your avoidance is high and you live longer and you automatically gain higher damage. So that works. On my DK, I still don't know. I don't have it all squared out in my head, but when I went full mastery, which everybody said is great for survivability, I used to get crushed like a paper bag. But then I went full parry, and it worked really well. Because what happened with mastery was, like, when my blood shield was up, I was in guard mode, and the moment it fell off, I died. I mean, it was
nice.
Crazy. Right? With parry, at least there was some gradient between, yeah, I'm not taking damage, and oh my god, I'm dying. Right? Like, there's some gap there. So yeah, parry worked great for me on my DK. Mastery, not so much for me. And I see that as someone who started doing challenge modes as a blood DK 4 days after dinging 90. So I don't have that level of experience that other full-time DKs would in timing their runes and you know.
Yeah, DKs, blood DKs, like, it's not, like, face roll. Like, I mean, I guess for normal five mans, but yeah, it's just a little bit of work involved.
You need to have that rune timing down, right? Because if you don't, and you're just standing in there like I was, getting hit, that's going to get ugly really fast.
Yeah.
But they have some really cool cooldowns, like Remorseless Winter is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and I bet. That would be great for challenge modes.
One thing that I found out the hard way is that the moment you pop Remorseless Winter, if there are Frost Mages in your group, they will pull off you. Because they start doing shatter damage against your frozen targets. So that was interesting. But yeah, I mean, at that point, mobs are dying so fast that it doesn't really matter.
Nice.
And the other thing, army, I mean, if you know how to use army properly, it makes a big difference. Like, when you do challenge modes, and you get into it, you'll find that one of the, you know, there's some legendary pulls as far as challenge modes are concerned. Mm-hmm. The Monkey Room and Stormstout Brewery is one that, you know, gives some tanks nightmares and healers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the first pull in Mogishan Palace, where you pull all the trash from the start of the instance all the way to the first boss in one pull and fight them there while the boss goes through RP.
Oh,
so there's crazy damage there. So, I'd done that on my Brewmaster and on my Warrior, and you do it a little differently for both. But on my DK, I could cheese the whole thing by just getting on to the end, having the Mage or, you know, a Warlock, Shadow Fury, or Mage, Ring of Frost, or anything. And as that went off, I popped Remorseless Winter and started channeling my army. So the mobs would stay frozen around me, the army came up, and I was just off to the side dancing while the ranged group killed everything. So when I figured that out on the DK, it was really easy.
Mm-hmm.
On the Monk and Warrior, it was work. Just round everything up and keep guiding them without getting killed. So, yeah.
Man, there's a, so you're just, what I'm hearing, and this is the case with pretty much no matter what the content is that you just have to get to know it. You have to go in and do it. Don't expect to crush it right away. Go in and just get to know the pools and get to know the instances and know your class.
Yeah, know how your class plays in challenge modes, because it's going to play a little differently from how it does it, you know, the rest of the time. Like if you look at PvE guides for, say, monks, most of the advice for, you know, for doing PvE is not really how you do challenge modes. Like, you're not really rolling away from the boss all the time and then coming back to the boss, right? Because that would drive your DPS nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
But you gotta need to do that in challenge modes.
Huh. Alright, so that was a little bit of tanking. How about healing?
So for healers, yeah, the first tune I actually did challenge modes on was my Holy Paladin, and it was a lot of fun. Healing challenge modes is kind of different from, you know, from regular PvE, because in all honesty, for every single fight, the healer's mana bar is the enraged timer for the fight, right? Because the DPS has to get that trash pack killed or the boss down before you run out of mana, or it's at least a soft enrage, if nothing else. So there are a couple things you can do. And first of all, since, I mean, as a healer, what you're going to be doing is you'll be regenerating mana between fights. And during fights, you'll be bombing out your biggest heals on, or your fastest heals when damage starts to spike.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you regenerate mana is there are these Klaxi restorative ambers that you can buy from the Klaxi Quartermaster. And what you do is as soon as your group exits combat, you pop that. And the way it's different from regular drinking and regular food is A, it generates mana twice as fast, right? And B, it doesn't break on you entering combat. So your tank can go ahead and pull, and if your group is rotating stuns, then the first, you know, 3 to 8 seconds is really going to be no damage, because the tank will have pulled and the first stun will go off, then the second stun, and then the third stun. And at that point, the damage is going to start coming in. And that's enough time for you to get your mana back up to full. Now, some healers say that, oh, I could heal challenge modes just fine with regular water, regular food. And I'm sure you can. But what's going to happen there is that the group is waiting on you to get enough mana before they pull. And if you look at the overall timer, that timer isn't stopping. So that's time in which the group could be DPSing, but they're not, just so that you can get your mana up. So even though goals aren't tuned tight enough that you cannot do them without Amber, you do your group a huge disservice by not using Amber, because then you've just increased the pressure on the tank and the DPS to get stuff done that much faster, just to give you that extra 20 seconds that you'll spend in that instance, or maybe half a minute drinking that you know, they can't fight.
Right.
So that said, at eye level 463, for most healers, stats get so squished that, you know, that there's really only one secondary stat you can prioritize for. And across all of my healers, I went for haste, because people usually don't die because I ran out of mana. They die because the heal didn't land before they died, right? And that's why I just, I wouldn't regem for haste, but I would certainly reforge for haste above everything else. After that, it's up to you whether, you know, depending on the healer you're playing, whether you want crit or mastery. But there's just so little of that secondary stat that it doesn't make a big difference anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But just going all out into haste, personally for me, helped me a lot. And then there are other tricks, like, you know, when you, and this is in different healer guides again. I wrote two guides, one for holy paladins and one for disciplined priests. But so for holy paladins, you're going to be using divine plea, and there are a bunch of things you can do to optimize your mana usage. But for disciplined priests, there's something really cool that they can do. There's a talent, spectral guise.
Mm-hmm.
And during trash combat, trash fights, you can pop that and immediately click your amber. And you can start regenerating mana in the middle of a fight. This doesn't work for boss fights, but it does work for trash. And this is part of the reason why disciplined priests are so phenomenally awesome for getting great times in challenge modes. Because not only can they put out a fair bit of damage, like Mistweavers can,
mm-hmm.
but they can regenerate mana during combat, and Spirit Shell, if used properly, is just it's amazing. And Divine Star is another thing that not only does it do DPS, but it also does solid healing. Just a really good toolkit. So, yeah, so if you have a bunch of healers to choose from, my personal experience has been that my Resto Druid would never run out of mana unless I really abused my spells and, you know, used regrowth where there was no need to use it and things like that. The Disc Priest certainly had the highest damage of the group, although, again, Resto Druids with Heart of the Wild can put out a lot of pressure on critical boss fights. And the Paladin was just solid for a different reason. If you're good at using hands,
mm-hmm.
then and you have a ranged heavy group, you can just put a Blessing of Protection on two people, for example, in the battle room or Mogushan Palace, and they're not going to be hit by any whirlwind or anything. And, you know, that's just insurance right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, different healers have, I mean, there'll be guides for all of them for how to do it. But as a healer, the generic advice I can give you would be use restorative ambers, go all out for haste. And I used intellect flasks, and I would pop a Jade Serpent, which is the 4,000 intellect potion, whenever heavy damage was coming up, because, you know, it's the bigger heals that you need. I never used a mana potion.
Hmm. Very cool.
Sounds of a... I know that you were saying the restorative amber from the Klaxi. That was the big key, I remember.
There's another little quirk to using that amber. What that amber does is it actually stuns you, right? Like, it's a buff, but while that buff is active for the 10 seconds which it becomes active for once you use it, you can't move or do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if your group enters combat, you can't right-click it off either.
Right? Oh.
So you have to type / cancel aura / restorative amber, which is hard, right?
Yeah.
So I just made a macro for it.
Right,
yeah. Again, I have it on my blog. So click it once and it starts. Click it a second time and it cancels it. Just so that if people start taking damage, you can at least come out of it and heal.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you were saying that Disc Priest is kind of your favorite for, or maybe the easiest, or I don't know.
If you can play it well, Disc is very strong for challenge mods.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually gotten golds on 4 healers. I have some on my Mistweaver as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't know how to play a Mistweaver very well. And like anytime I'm on my monk, I'm asked to tank. So I hardly ever get to play Mistweaver. Which is why I have 3 monks, by the way. The first one is a Brewmaster Windwalker. The second one is also Horde and is a Mistweaver Windwalker.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is Alliance, like the boost I talked about. And I never get to play my Mistweaver because it's always like, hey, we need a monk to tank. Can you come do it? Yeah, okay. So,
nice.
So, yeah, in terms of healers, if you're just starting out, Resto was... I don't think it's fair to call Resto easy because it was my third or fourth healer going through. So I kind of knew what the damage was going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a hard class to heal on. The Paladin was probably a little trickier. Disc is good. I mean, it's not too hard. Some disc players say they run out of mana too fast, but it's just about learning to pace yourself and not use up mana. And that's, you know, when you do the challenge modes and you get a feel for how much DPS your group has and how long fights last, that's when you get an idea for what rate you should be spending your mana at and figure that out. But this, and for healing, there's one more thing. Like, when you go in with a brand new group, and I know I said that you should start with the silver group, what's going to happen is nobody, or at least most of the people, aren't going to know about stuff that really hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really hard to heal. It's far easier to heal an experienced gold group than it is to heal a silver group, simply because the silver group doesn't know how to avoid all that damage, or what to kill first, or what spells must be interrupted, right?
Right.
So yeah, it's healing silvers is a pretty miserable experience, but you learn a lot very fast.
Nice.
You'll feel utterly, like, the first challenge mode I healed was Scholomance, and the way it goes, I don't know if you've done it, but you fight the two mobs, and then you jump over the little wall down into that encounter with the boss, and she comes charging in with her ice walls. And compared to Heroic, there are a couple of changes. Like, the mobs on the sides, if someone pulls them, they kind of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if the tank keeps turning his back to them. Then she does this AoE. She puts a spell on people that does an AoE around them. And then she puts this little ring on the ground that kills anyone who's standing in there. So you're telling people to group up and not go to the side because they'll pull something, and then they clump together, so she puts the debuff on one person, so he needs to run out, and then she puts the circle under someone else. And if people aren't really watching out for this, the damage going out is just insane because the tank is getting pounded, and then two more people are having near-death experiences, and you're just standing there with, you know, 2,000 haste trying to make sense of it all. It's, yeah. So
awesome.
That's hilarious.
So when you said Resto, that was Druid, right? Restoration?
Yeah, I haven't healed anything as the Resto Shaman.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate.
And you play an Elemental Shaman in a challenge mode, and end of story.
I don't play an Elemental Shaman.
I definitely play an Elemental Shaman.
I tried Elemental, I didn't like it. It didn't work for me.
Chain Lightning is hard.
It is.
Well, yeah.
Well, I could really do that. But... him too.
And AG, man. Ancestral Guidance with Ascendance and Chain Lightning or Lava Beam is just amazing.
A Lava Beam's ridiculous.
Yeah, and if you're going to be doing challenge modes on a Shaman, you'd probably want to take Ancestral Guidance, because that's a lot of healing in, you know, in those clutch moments, that, like at the start of a big pull when the damage on a tank is really high.
Mm-hmm.
If you pop AG, then it's a fairly short cooldown, so it's up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And like an Elemental Shaman, or even I've played with an Enhance as well. Same thing. The damage they're putting out with all those adds up is translating into healing right at the point where the largest number of mobs are alive and beating on the tank. It really helps.
Well, do you want to go into DPS a little bit then?
So yeah, DPS, I've gotten golds on four classes. One was my monk as a Windwalker. It was kind of hard because I was just so much more experienced playing Brewmaster. And I think Windwalker suffers a bit more from the low haste because they don't have Vengeance to buoy them up. So, yeah, it's probably not an ideal spec to play. Like, if you're going to play a monk, you probably want, if you can tank, you want to go as a Brewmaster simply because it's such a strong class. But coming back to DPS, my 9 of 9s are my Elemental Shaman and my Frost Mage. And both of these classes are kind of overpowered for challenge modes. Mm-hmm. Frost Mages have amazing shatter damage. Like, their burst is just amazing. One thing to watch out for is if you stack your group with Frost Mages, their damage when mobs are low on health isn't kind of that great, because they'll blow all their cooldowns up front.
Mm-hmm.
And near when mobs are starting to get really low on health, they don't have an execute. So you just want to watch out for, like, if you're going to have a mage, ideally pair it with, say, a warlock or a hunter, just so that they can polish off those low health mobs fast. So, but anyway, Frost Mages, a lot of fun to play. They have built-in invisibility, so they can chug DPS potions throughout.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, they bring Time Warp, so they're a class always in demand. You'll find it very easy to get groups as a Frost Mage. And again, Elemental Shaman, just for the off-healing they can provide and the raw damage they put out along with providing Bloodlust or Heroism are also...
It's Bloodlust.
You know,
we just call it Bloodlust around here.
Yeah, Bloodlust is better.
Yeah, I was just being nice. I always call it Bloodlust.
We're very horde biased. We don't hide that fact.
We're not horde biased. We just know what's up.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's a good way to put it.
No, Blizzard is horde biased. But
nice. Okay, now you said
speaking of bias. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I have a question, Kay. You mentioned Invis, like the mages Invis and being able to pop the DPS potions more often. What is that about?
So in challenge modes, you're going to be down at eye level 463, right? So your primary stats are going to be super low.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember offhand, but I think you have like 10,000 or so of your stat, which 10 to 12, like around about that much, right?
Maybe right.
A little more, but that's the ballpark you're looking at. And a DPS potion gives you 4,000 of your primary stat.
Right.
Like, so that's huge. Like, the amount of damage you get from popping a potion is really big in challenge modes because of the sheer amount of stats you get from the potion compared to what you have.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't as big a boost in Siege of Orgrimmar as it is in challenge modes.
Right.
And because of that, what you're really going to do is you're going to be pre-parting as well. That means that before the instance wall opens, like when the timer is going off, you'll part then, just so that you have that buff, and then and then during that first pull, you can use it again. And that will really, really increase your damage, or even your healing. And as a tank, I'd pop DPS potions too, because since everything is on a timer, the faster you can get through stuff, the easier it is, right?
Right.
So what happens with potions is that, like in combat, if you use a potion, you're going to have a 1 minute cooldown on it, right?
Right.
So if you do it during a boss fight, then after the boss is dead, you have to wait around a little bit before you can use another potion. When you do gold times in challenge mode, when you're doing a challenge mode, there are certain requirements to completing the challenge mode. You have to kill all the bosses, and there are a certain number of mobs you have to kill. So what you want to do is you want to kill that number of mobs and no more than that, because you want to cut down on the time you spend in there, right?
Right.
And for that, you invest through certain trash packs or certain areas so you can skip certain mobs just so that you can complete your kill count in as little time as possible. And that's where the Invis potions come in. Now, when you use an Invis potion, it puts every potion on a 10-minute cooldown. That means that usually, given the length of most challenge modes and the times where you typically use an Invis potion, once you use that Invis potion, you're locked out of using any DPS potions for the remainder of that run.
Okay.
Mages and engineers have invisibility. And sometimes rogues and druids can get away with stealth as well. Since it's not full invisibility, it doesn't always work. Like, there's some places you can use it, some places you can't. Mm-hmm. But anyway, other than these guys, everyone else has reduced damage after they've used the invis potions if they were using potions on cooldown before. Mages, on the other hand, can just pop invis and they don't care about the potion cooldown at all. So they can use the Jade Serpent 4000 and potions throughout the run, which is why they have so much damage. And the same thing goes for engineers who can use the invisibility belt, which sometimes fails with hilarious results, and druids and rogues.
Okay, that makes sense.
In my opinion, the two best professions for challenge modes are actually engineering and alchemy. Because engineering, because it lets you use invisibility and rocket boosts. I usually have two belts and I switch them mid-run as soon as I'm out of combat for whether I want the speed boost or I want the invisibility. But the boost you get from alchemy is the Zen Alchemist Stone. When you make it, it's got an eye level of 458, but you can upgrade it with justice points, and it becomes a 466, which then downscales to 463. The proc on that is, I think, something like 4,700 of your primary stat on a fairly short cooldown. So it pops a lot. And, you know, that's really your best in slot trinket for challenge boards if you're an alchemist. And it's almost free.
Nice. Pro tip right there. It's an alchemist stone.
Well, cool, then. I think that's kind of everything we have here. You talked about, you know, knowing the fights and knowing the runs and knowing your class, and you make a point here about having a good leader. Do you guys use any sort of voice when you do it, when you play these? Or?
Oh, yeah, you definitely want to use voice because, you know, sometimes people are going to die and you might have more than one battle res available, so you want to just coordinate just so that they don't get wasted. You might have someone guiding something or the tank saying that, you know, I need a cooldown from the healer, or the tank's calling for stuns, and, you know, that sort of stuff. You can't do it without voice. I mean, maybe you could, but it would definitely be a lot more error prone. So voice is super important. Most people, if you're pugging through OQ, there's a public vent server that you can hop onto, so you don't really even need your own vent server. They have a few over 100 rooms, and usually quite a few free, so you can just hop in there and use them if you're using OQ. And I think it's donation supported. I'm not sure, though.
Oh, nice.
But you certainly don't pay to use it, like as an end user. And the only problem with that is sometimes people will hop into your room, and since it's not password protected, and start trolling you. It's only happened to me once, but some people say it happens a lot to them. I don't know. But just one time for me in all the over 100, maybe more runs I've done. Some other people prefer to use Skype. Skype is kind of cool because people can talk at the same time without really having, you know, the sound go crazy. So it's just easier to coordinate and seems to have lower latency too. But yeah, you definitely want to have voice. And it's a big, big red flag if the leader or the tank doesn't have a mic. I've usually seen those end in tears.
That's awesome.
Good stuff. Just looking here at what we got here in the notes, did you go over the Trasverse bosses here? I'm just trying to remember. I don't think you did. Or I might have missed it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So one thing that I wanted to talk about for a DPS, like from a DPS perspective, is the trash is actually going to die super fast because your tank is going to have a ton of vengeance. He'll be putting out a lot of damage, and everyone's going to be doing AoE or cleaving or, you know, whatever. Trash melts fast. So trash is, for a healer, trash is the deadliest part of a challenge mode because they do the most damage, and the group needs to coordinate stuns the best over there. But in terms of the amount of damage you need to put out, they're really not the hardest part. The bosses have a ton of health, and whittling those down takes a long time because it's all single target. So yeah, if you're a frost mage, you'll pop all your cooldowns against trash because you really don't have anything against bosses anyway, right? But if you're a class, like say you're a warrior, or, you know, somebody who can put out a ton of single target damage, and you know that right after the trash pack is a difficult boss, you want to hold off and use that damage cooldown on the boss. So defensives on the trash, like the stuns and everything, and try to save the hardest hitting stuff for the boss. Because even if you pop that cooldown on the trash, that might save you maybe, you know, 3 seconds. While on the boss, it might be like 10, 15 seconds. So it's just, you know, learning where you get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, totally.
So you've also got avoid killing melee here. What do you mean by that?
Oh yeah. So so remember what I was talking about with the tank zipping in and out, like, you know, just stepping out. Like as a tank, you'll want to kite a little bit when the damage gets high, no matter what type of tank you're playing, right? Just back off, like just stun and back off. One more thing about stuns. When you stun, whether it's a Brewmaster's Leg Sweep, a Warrior's Shockwave, or a DK's Remorseless Winter, you reset the mob's swing timer, which basically means that they all come out of the stun at the same time and take a hit at you at the same time.
Oh.
Right? So you don't want to be standing right in front of them, you know, giggling when that when those 20 hits come in at the same time. So you just walk back a little bit, right? So you're doing that the whole time. Now, there's a difference between a stun and a root, right?
Uh-huh.
Mages, when they do something like, say, a Frost Nova or a Pit Nova, the Elementals Nova, that's a root. That's not a stun. So what's going to happen is if the tank backs out of melee range, the mob will then hit whoever is in melee range. And that's usually going to be a melee DPS. Right? So they'll die to melee without ever having had aggro.
Okay.
So, yeah. So if you have melee DPS, you kind of want to watch out and call out when you're about to root just so that they're prepared that they might get hit if the tank backs away. That's, you know, just stuff you pick up as you go along, but your first time in there, it might be a bit mysterious why people are falling over dead when they never had aggro. So.
Well, I know we're kind of covered most everything here. I did want to ask you though, what's your favorite and least favorite dungeons to run?
So, it depends a lot on what class it is. I used to really hate Mogushan Palace just because that first pull was so brutal, and then you'd like getting gold was so hard. We'd always miss it by a few seconds. But I've improved at it to the point where I can do that first pull very smoothly now. And now I actually enjoy that just because it feels awesome to pull everything and and just pull that off, right?
Right.
It's gone from being one of my most hated to one that I actually like. The same for Stormstar Brewery. That room with the 40 monkeys used to give me, like, you know, just shivers, like, how the heck do you round them all up? Now, I've gotten a lot of experience in there, and I know how to pull that, and I wrote about how to do it, too. But to the point that it's actually a lot of fun. Like, it's just the smooth exercise that you do. Like, just grab everything, pick it up, and blow it up, and you move on. So, yeah. I don't really have a least favorite. The buckets would have to be, and Scarlet Halls would have to be the most annoying part. But I don't have a dungeon that I hate as such. There's some annoying parts in all of them, in most of them, like Siege of Neozar Temple, the second boss with all the RP, and there's some very hard pulls, but yeah, I don't hate any of them.
I think the one that I got gold on my priest was one of the Scarlet ones that you were saying where you have to throw the buckets.
Yeah, that's Scarlet Halls.
That was hard, man. That was really hard.
The trash in there hits super hard.
Yeah, there's so much of it, too. And to get gold, you have to kill, like, you know, it's like 40 or something of the...
Well, there's a little trick you can do there. So you know, when that instant starts, you have two buckets you use, first in the corridor you start in and one right outside, right? And then there's that courtyard you cross with those archery targets, and then you fight that mini-boss. And he's got, what, 8 or 9 mobs with him? I don't have my notes in front of me, but yeah, that's like a fair number of mobs. So what you can do is, you pull that guy, you kill all the trash with him, and then you just hightail it back out of the courtyard. He's going to follow you and reset. And then you pull him again, because trash comes back.
Oh, wow.
And that lets you skip one trash back later. You'll still be short one mob.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's a dog a little out of the way, like a dog pack that you can use a meat bucket on to get that last kill count. So that's what I love about challenge modes. That it's like some people say that, you know, it's annoying that you have to use invis potions. But I think it adds a lot of depth because it lets you choose which mobs are you going to fight. Like which mobs is your group super capable against and which ones are going to be hard for you. So you decide which you're going to pull and which you're going to skip. And this is like one of those instances where, yeah, if you have trouble with those mobs after the invisibility run, then just do this little trick and you won't have to fight both of those packs.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah,
that's really cool. What would you say is the easiest one to do then?
It depends a lot on your class, on your class composition, because generally they're going to be easier if you only have the tank in melee and all your DPS are ranged, just because the way WoW is designed, there's so many things the tank has to step out of, and you know, if melee DPS are right there with him, they end up getting killed. So it's a little harder to play a melee DPS than it is a ranged DPS. But comps aside, I think the most forgiving one is probably Skolomance and then Shadowban Monastery, because they have really long timers.
Okay.
So even if you mess up, it's possible to recover. With Mogushan and Stormstout and some of the others, the timers are so tight that if you make, like, you know, if someone dies, or it's usually you have to reset and try again. But yeah, so if someone is starting out, I would say Skolomance or Shadowban. Shadowban can have some tough fights, like the Shah boss is particularly hard on the healer. Some healers, like paladins, just sail through that. Some healers have a lot of trouble. It depends, again, on, you know, on what your group is like. I will say one thing, though. High DPS will make everything so much easier, because stuff will die before your healer runs out of mana. And you know, not just high DPS, but DPS that's on the ball, like, they're watching their assigned targets and they're interrupting things they have to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're doing something like Scarlet Monastery, you get all the way to the end and somebody misses their interrupt on Mass Resurrection. Well, guess what? You've got 40 mobs alive charging the group now, and that's a vibe when you were, like, you know, a minute from gold and comfortably there.
Yeah.
So, and it's happened, so, more than once. So... Yeah, and you can't really blame people, because especially if it's their first time or they're new to challenge modes, most people are under a lot of stress. I know I was, and then you get the nerves and jitters and you make mistakes you normally wouldn't, because, you know, there's just pressure. But, yeah, having everyone just pay attention and focus on their role makes it a lot easier.
Awesome. So you're going to carry Hand and I through some challenge modes?
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe not at the same time. But
Nice.
Why don't you tank them on your brewmaster? I mean, I'll help you figure them out.
Oh, man. I will. I totally will.
You've got about a month now, I think. Because it'll go away with the pre-patch, right?
So that was one of the last thing that I wanted to ask you, too, was, do you know what the schedule looks like?
No, I do not.
I heard that they were going away, and then I heard that they weren't going away, and so I don't know.
So what they said was that with all the game systems changing for Warlords, challenge modes won't make a lot of sense, because all of our gear is being refactored anyway, right?
Like, right, okay.
We're going through the start squish and everything. So... And we're getting abilities changed and stuff reworked, like classes are changing completely. So it wouldn't make much sense to have these challenge modes in the form they are right now. Either they'd be too hard or they'd be too easy. And in either case, they'd need to be retuned, right? Mm-hmm. And that's effort on content that's one expansion old.
Right.
I suppose they'd focus on something that's new and hasn't come out yet. So... Yeah, so they said that when patch 6.0 comes out, this is you'll no longer be able to run challenge modes, and the rewards, if you haven't earned them by now, are no longer going to be attainable. So that's the mounts, the title, and the transmog gear. Again, like, if you complete everything, all 9 with bronze times, you get the title, the Undaunted. If you get all of them on silver, you get the mount, the Pandaren Phoenix. There are 4 colors. If you get any one color right now, when patch 6.0 hits, the mount will go account-wide instead of being for that character only, and you'll get the other 3 as well on your account. So that's one more reason to do silver. And gold is the transmog set for your own class. Right. So if you haven't gotten them by the time patch 6.0 comes out, you're no longer going to be able to get them. That's the last I heard on it. And if you look at the release schedule for pre-patches, it's usually a month before the expansion comes out, right?
Yeah. So yeah, that's like I kind of wanted to really get you on because once I we came up with this topic for challenge modes, it's like wow, we gotta get in there and get this show done just because it's very time sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So
it doesn't take that long to do that. Like if you're on a roll, you can actually knock out more than one in a single night. Like I got the last four golds I needed on my DK within 2 hours because I found a really good pug and for two, and then we found another pug for the other two, and things just clicked and went smoothly. But it's not like you need weeks and weeks to do them. You can probably do it in a few nights if you know, if you take the time to set your gear up in advance, have all your potions, inverse potions, everything ready, just so that when you get in there you can start taking a serious crack at them. And yeah, if you prepare, honestly, they're very doable. And what I love about them is, like, unlike raiding and heroic raiding where you have to get a certain amount of gear before you can do the content, here it's really about figuring out how to do certain pulls. The gear isn't that big an issue. So, just go after it.
Very cool.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, do you have anything else for him?
I don't think so. Is there any last tip or trick that you want to give us? Or
there's just so many, but what I can do is I can give you some links to put in the show notes.
That works. We will do that sure. That is perfect.
Yeah, because there's some sites that really helped me out. Wowhead has some has a really good section on challenge modes. I know Hamlet did some really good videos on YouTube actually talking through everything as a resto druid, like where you're going to use heavy healing and where do you want to do DPS and where do you want to watch out for certain damage spikes. Really good no matter what class you're going to play. So I'll give you those links and you can put them in the show notes. But okay. There's just so much to talk about.
I bet. Okay, no, that works. That works.
All right, man. I'm like pretty nervous to tank one, but I'd totally do it.
What's the worst that's going to happen? The same thing that happens when a raid boss gets you and it's not ready, right?
Right? Like and wiping on garage 100 times.
One last thing. Unlike raids, in challenge modes, you don't take durability loss when you die. So go forth and die. It doesn't matter.
Oh, awesome.
Well, yeah. That's good. Very cool. All right. Well, if that's it, we have a clip from Kim this week. So let's listen to that now.
Hello and welcome back to Crowd Control PvP. We're going to be talking all about main switches for Warlords of Draenor this week and which classes really are shining on the beta so far. So stay tuned and I hope you enjoy. As you guys know, I've been a healer pretty much exclusively for most of the time I've been doing PvP. But with a new expansion, it means that we're given an opportunity to check out some other classes and play something different. And I usually start thinking about changing my main towards the last, you know, couple of months of the expansion. This one hasn't been any different, but I am sick of healing. I want to do something different. I want to do some Wrecking of Face and do some DPS. So that's what I've decided. I had a look at the 90s that I had at the moment because I don't want to have to be spending the first part of a new expansion leveling from 1 to 90 to catch up with everyone else. So, and I don't want to buy a 90. So I've got a DK, a rogue, a priest, a shaman and a druid. Those were my options. So I went with the DK. Yeah. It's a little bit different. I mean, the last time I played a DK was in Wrath and they're completely different from then. It was a steep learning curve. But, you know, easy enough. I started off in the alpha with the DK and I'm pretty much 100% certain that he's going to be my main. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's nice to do something different. It's nice to have a change and to see a different kind of way of playing. It's been a long time, like I say, since I've played a Death Knight. It's years, in fact. So I'm quite enjoying it. It's quite good. So are you planning to change your main? Are you going to have something different for Warlords of Draenor? Have you switched already in preparation? You have to let me know. I'd like to know what you guys are up to. I've had a ton of emails and tweets from people asking which classes are best in beta, and there's a simple answer. Druids. In all their forms, Druids are doing really well at the moment. Balance, the damage is just, it's insane. Feral has been, it's been boosted a little bit, and they're also pretty good, although they need a hard-hitting partner. They don't do so well on their own with a healer. They need that little bit of extra DPS, but the utility they bring to the team makes, you know, a huge difference. They've still got Cyclone and things like that, and the healing is immense. I mean, if you use Heart of the Wild, you're basically gaining a healer for 50 seconds, is it? So yeah, it's pretty good. Resto, the heals are really strong. Guardian, yeah, if you're playing Guardian in Arena, then yeah, you people, you ones, the ones with the Guardians, go away, we don't like you. I think the strongest thing about Druids is still the off heals. Like I say, Heart is a huge, huge cooldown, and you know, you're pretty much not going to die if someone's got Heart on, plus the damage boost. If you're Feral and you're Wrathing with Heart on, it's huge. Anyway, Druids are good. But beyond Druids, I would say DK and Rhett are probably the hardest hitting DPS at the moment. Yeah, I think obviously the Rhett's got all sorts of heals and bubbles, and the DK's got plenty of self-heals and things like that. So yeah, those are the three that I would say are the best at the moment on the beta. I've been doing a lot of twos with my husband Andy, and he's been playing a Feral, and I've been on the Frost DK, and for two nights we sat and noted down each match and each team we came up against, wins and losses and things like that, basically so that I could know. It's something that we do. It's probably a little tiny bit, you know, of me, but it's something that we do. If we have a new comp, we sit and note everything down and see which classes we're losing to, which ones we need to work on. And so we did that, and we went 50 wins to 4 losses with a Feral and a Frost DK. I could hardly believe it, if I'm completely honest. The only problem that we had was one match was a Prot Warrior and a Rogue, and we lost because the Prot Warrior was just, ugh, Prot Warrior tanks in Arena. Yeah, you know the story. And the other one was DPS healers. So there's some healers, I think two of them were Resto Druids as well. Most of the time it's healers, DPS that were causing us a problem. I say most of the time, like I say, 4 losses isn't a bad run at all. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked for the comp that we've chosen for Warlords. We ran some threes with a friend of ours, Stephen. He had a Warlock. That seemed pretty good too. So yeah, I'm pretty much all round stoked for Warlords of Draenor. I cannot wait. I'm looking forward to the leveling part. I'm looking forward to even the garrisons, I suppose, to a certain extent. But mostly, I'm looking forward to the PvP. It is shaping up to be a fantastic expansion for us PvPers. So there you have it. I've ditched all my healing classes for a Frost DK. Who'd have thought it, eh? Tell me about your changes to your mains. What are you going to pick? Have you picked yet? Have you not decided? Are you going to stick with your class? Tell me whys and whens and whiffs. You can email me at kimscally at crowdcontrolpvp.com or on Twitter at kimscally or at crowdcontrolpvp. Wow, that was a lot of ats. Yeah, you guys get the picture. I want to just throw in a quick plug for our YouTube channel. If you head over to www.crowdcontrolpvp.com, you can see all the links and videos and all that good stuff. And as always, thank you so much for listening to me ramble on about Warlords, and I hope you have a great week.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
All right, things I learned the hard way. Thunder, do you have anything for us?
Everything.
All the things.
I bet there's a lot in challenge modes that come up. I have a feeling.
Well, yeah, the most common one is that the invisibility belt, sometimes it looks like it worked when it didn't. It's always a sinking feeling when you run past a mob and it starts following you.
Oh, no. Nice.
Yeah, honestly, the belt didn't seem to fail so much early on, but lately it seems to be 1 out of 2 times.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I think I've run out of my quota of invisibility usage. But, yeah.
Rob, do you have anything?
Oh, man, I've always got something. You know, for the little that we've played lately, I do actually have one. And when you're tanking Garrosh, and you hit that phase where he's summoning the empowered adds, and everybody's supposed to kind of pull their ad off to the side and kill it away from everything, so it doesn't spread all the healing and all that stuff among the adds, it is about darn near impossible for me to not AoE as a brewmaster monk. So I have this really bad habit of just lighting into everything the minute I see it. So all the adds show up and I keg smash, and yeah, those adds are like all over me, just tearing me a new one. And
they're your friends still dead to you, Mark.
They're dead to us, Mark. Blowing everybody up and healing each other and killing everything. Man, yeah, that's a little rough. So I didn't know it for the longest time. We kept getting to that phase and I kept going, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. Why is everything, like, I can't figure this out. And it's, you know, I'm looking at my talents, realizing that, like, pretty much everything I'm doing is just spamming AoE, and there's no way around it. So, yeah, I've learned the hard way that as much as I love the Brewmaster monk, like, I got to learn how to back off a little bit.
Nice. I'm sure there's something, but I don't know. I'm drawing a blank right now, as always.
I'm sure
there's stuff with Garrosh too.
We'll just save that. We'll save yours for next time. You can do too.
Sounds good. All right. Well, then let's get to my favorite part of the show, because I get to hear this. All right, I need to send some hen love to, of course, our guildies, the hoarderlies on the Deathwing server. I'm going to send some hen love over to the folks over at Catalyst Gaming Media. There's lots of fine podcasts over there and streamers, bloggers, etc. And as well to the folks who are putting together World of Podcasts, which I will be attending this year. And I believe I am one of the panels. I think it's later in the evening, but I will be there. So hope to see everyone there. And I can give you some hen love in person. And of course, I knew that would sound bad when it was coming out. I'm like, we'll just go with it. And of course, I need to send some hen love for Thunderspank for coming on the show today and wrapping us up or getting us psyched up here for some challenge modes. I think I may be ready to get back in the game here and try some of those out. Rob, what do you got for hen love?
Definitely our everybody who's been sending us the Twitter love, waiting for us to record again. It's just a good feeling knowing that people are waiting and excited, so you guys are awesome. To Zyrtec for this allergy medicine. Thank you so much. And would you please create a fast-acting formula?
Nice.
And Thunder, for sure, for coming on, man. I've got you on my battle tag. I'm going to take you up on the offer, and we'll get me in there, and I will give this a shot, so.
For sure.
So we'll see what that looks like. But yeah, I really, really am glad that you came on the show tonight. It's good to get back behind the mic and good to have you here. So,
thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Did you have any hand love or hand love?
Yeah, for my guildies and friends in game, for, you know, making WoW as interesting as it is, because it would be nothing without the community. And, you know, just thank you.
All right.
Right on.
Before we wrap up this episode, can you let everyone know where they can reach you, follow you, like you, or how they can send hen love to you?
So, yeah, the easiest way to get in touch with me is probably Twitter. And it's my handle is really easy. It's at, I mean, obviously it's Twitter. It's at _ Thunderspank. And my blog is at thunderspank.com. So, you know, those are the easiest ways to get hold of. Yeah.
Awesome. All right.
I gotta unmute.
Oh.
Perfect.
Allergies.
Man. Well, yeah. Again, thanks everyone for putting up with me tonight, man. It's been terrible, but I've had a really great time here with Thunder. And mm-hmm. I would have to say that pretty much wraps it up for episode 72 of The Training Dummies. You can find our show on iTunes and Stitcher, so please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. You can follow our Twitter, though we'll make sure to keep you informed on all of the things. And that is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland. Hind is at Hind_ Horderlies. And Kim is at Kim Scally, and that's Kim with a Y.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!
Last year, World of Podcasts brought together hosts from over 20 shows to celebrate all things Blizzard, and this year's event is aiming to be even bigger.
Thanks to our partnership with Ask Mr. Robot and sponsors such as Icy Veins, Open Raid, Doghouse Systems, and Safeshark Hosting, this year's gathering will take place in multiple conference rooms at the Anaheim Hilton on Thursday, November 6th.
This means more panels, more space, and more opportunities to meet participants from over 30 podcasts, including shows like Dark Moon Herald, Final Boss, The Sundering, and Azeroth Roundtable.
But our plans don't stop there. In addition to this, we want to bring more to the event to make World of Podcasts stand out as the party to attend on Thursday night, including a state-of-the-art sound system, free photo booth, an art gallery showcasing the works of dozens of Blizzard fan artists, support to host a Hearthstone fireside, and much more.
You can help us meet these goals by going to the World of Podcasts Anaheim 2014 Kickstarter page. Your donations will ensure we can provide an amazing experience for everyone attending, and even if you're not going to BlizzCon, you can score some World of Podcasts swag by supporting the project on Kickstarter.
Thank you for your time and your support, and for more information, go to worldofpodcasts.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at World of Podcasts.
This might be the second thing that I send you, and if I do a duplicate, I apologize. I, for whatever reason, I have a hard time with your recording system. It doesn't take much to confuse me. And I wanted to say hi. This is Via, by the way. I don't call too often. I should call more often. But I had some things to drink and thought I'd say hi. So hi. I hope everybody's doing good. I'm ready for November. I'm going to hug everyone. I'm going to hug Hind a lot. He might feel uncomfortable. Sorry. That's okay. Y'all keep it real. And be well. And it's the weekend, so have a good weekend. I have to work tomorrow. Didn't stop me from having a couple. Obviously. So be good. Have a good show. Okay, bye.